Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, No Body, No Ministry. 10 out of 10 people die. It's a fact of life. Are you prepared for death? Additionally, do you want to die healthy or sick? You see, God has outlined a maintenance program which, if properly followed, will allow you to live a long, healthy, and productive life in the kingdom of God. The aging process can be slowed down, but never stopped, and there will come a time when the physical body dies from what the doctors call natural causes. Most people make plans for retirement, but not for aging. Jesus commissioned every Christian to go and share the gospel. Now, in order to do that, you need a body. You simply can't perform any type of ministry without one, and you are certainly more effective ministering on your feet than lying on a sick bed. This message is entitled, Dying Healthy. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be talking today about the subject I never spoken about before. No body, no ministry. And I'm going to start with a bonus scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. If you want to turn to that, that's John 14, verse number 11. And this message was given to me about a week ago. A week ago, God spoke and said, I want you to speak about growing old. And he outlined for me exactly what he wanted me to say. I could see it outlined in a vision, in a spirit. So, dying healthy. When I was 40 years old, I was just running about. Matter of fact, I was the same age as Charles Terrell is today. He's 40 years old, young man. So I was thinking, you know, about just doing things. And one day, the Holy Spirit just stopped me and said, John, how do you want to end your life? Do you want to walk out or do you want to be wheeled out? I said, I want to walk out. He said, start exercising. Well, I am smart at times, and I realized this is the Holy Ghost speaking to me. So I signed up for a gym, that time with Jack LaLanne. I got sold about 3 or 4 times after that as he sold these gyms. But I started about 37 years out pumping weight and pushing and doing a lot of different things. God also told me to change my diet and to have some supplements and to watch what I'm doing. So about in 1999, up on the property here, I had a Ukrainian, it's obviously Uranian, but a Ukrainian contractor, heating and air conditioning. And I was telling him, you know, that, you know, you really need to take care of your body. So I kept talking to him. And finally he said, John, are you telling me that you want to die healthy? And I said, what? And I got angry. I thought he was mocking me. Then I thought about it. Do I want to die healthy? Yes, I do. Yes, I want to die healthy. I don't want to be sick. I want to be here one day, gone the next. Like Moses, Smith Wigglesworth, and a number of other people. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. Your plans for the future. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 11, we read the following. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, whereas believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, said to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verily, verily, said to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, listen, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You've read these verses many times. And the problem is we just don't believe them. We believe it's good for this guy, and so on, but not for me. But they're good for us. So I simply said, Lord, that's what I want. I want to die healthy. Now, at the age of 40, I then made a decision that I had to maintain my body. God is going to do his part, but I got to do my part. I got to change the oil. I got to put airs in the tires. I got to make sure I got water in the radiator. I got to make sure that my transmission is full. I got to make sure that I do my part. And here's the thing that I want you to hear now. When I was 40, I decided this. I am not going to retire at 65. I am not going to think about retirement. I retire when Jesus calls me home. You see, the problem with most people is this, that they have a herd mentality. Well, they simply says, well, you know, 65, you retire, you know, you do this or that, and you simply slow down. I decided this. There's no place in the Bible that says you have to retire. You just keep on going. Now, the beautiful thing for most people, and not to the ministers, is that up to 65, you're putting in 8 hours a day or more to work to get the money coming in. When you hit 65, you at least get Social Security. You get some other things if you paid into it. And now you have a chance to work for the Lord. I'm telling people this. You're getting up to 65, praise the Lord. Sign up. You can be a full-time in a ministry. The government pays for you. And you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and work for a number of years until he calls you home. So, you have to mentally make a decision. Are you going to slow down, sit down, and wait for the undertaker to call you? Or are you simply going to keep trucking until Jesus says you are done, and then die healthy? Now, over the years, I spoke to one particular brother, and we got it written down there, and he said, you know, I really don't like to hear when people grow old. I don't like to hear when they get sick, you know, it depresses me, you know, and so on. And so, you know, when the time comes, you know, I would just use, you know, boom, and I'm gone. Right, you can't commit suicide. God has never said for us to commit suicide. That's not a good attitude. The attitude is simply this. How can I maintain my body? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I've been preaching here the last few months or so about this law of death. And the Bible says, I am no longer under the law of death. So praise God for that. In Revelation 20, we read from verse number 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. and whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, the fact of life is this. The moment a baby is conceived, the sperm and the egg come together, immediately that child is sentenced to death. We are under condemnation of death. Praise God for Jesus Christ. He died for our sins on the cross, rose on the third day, and he has negated the law of death. When you got born again, you're no longer under the law of death. You have been redeemed. You're under the law of life for your soul and spirit. But the flesh, your vehicle, your body, is still under a death sentence. Now, I'm not sad about that, because I really don't want to stay in this body for the next trillion, million, zillion years. I want a new model that is different from this one. I'm limited here. I want a body like Jesus had and has. He could walk through walls. He could eat fish. He could do all kind of different things. He could be invisible. He could fly. He could be on another planet and not have any problems. That's the body we're going to get. Now, in the meantime, here's a game plan. God has said this. You are allowed 120 years. Let's read that. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. That is Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. This is what God said. I guarantee your physical body 120 years. If you follow my maintenance program. Now, there's always an if, right? You buy a new car, you buy a new dishwasher, you buy a new television set, whatever it is, and it comes with instructions, it comes with maintenance, and because you're investing money, you maintain things, and they last you a long time. Well, praise the Lord. Here is a manufacturer's handbook called the Bible. In it, everything is there for you to maintain your physical body for 120 years. God didn't say 60 years of fairly good health and 60 years of misery. He didn't say that. Moses was 120 years old. His eyesight was not dimmed. His physical body still strong. Matter of fact, the last day Moses lived, he walked up a mountainside, 3,000 or 4,000 feet, to be taken and die healthy. I want you to think about that. So, what are we going to do? What are the requirements? How can you have a body that will last? Because, you say, this is a time you are getting educated for eternity. Remember what I told you for years. Your spiritual maturity, when you leave this earth, is going to stay with you for eternity. We are not going to grow spiritually in heaven. There's no devil, no demons, there's no strife. This is where we grow spiritually. In heaven, we will get more knowledge, we will have a lot of information, but your maturity is going to be what you have here on earth. And you know, most churches are nurseries where people, you walk in there, and they have not changed, they've been saved for 35 years, and they have the same mentality, thinking, and maturity as when they got saved. Sad. They still got the diapers on. Still got the pacifiers. After 35, 40 years being saved. So this is why it is important. Now you want to think about this. The Bible says we're going to get rewards. When you get up to heaven, you know, down here we struggle with finances. We struggle with this. You don't want to come into heaven and be given positions where you could be way up there. And many people are going to get the position of you many times. It's called a rag position. You get a rag, you're in heaven, and you're told, polish the streets, that's your job, you're in heaven, but that's all you're good for, because on earth you did absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. So, we want to use this time wisely. Think about this. Go and talk to a young person 13 years of age. He just got started high school. And tell him, apply yourself, man. He said, why should I? Look, man, you can't live on a minimum wage. Oh, I don't care about that. You get out of high school, you're not doing too good. You get a job, minimum wage. Do you live well on that? How do you do on a minimum wage? Not very well. You can't support a family on it. You can't buy a home on it. You know, you're existing. And you talk to people in the 20s and 30s, and you say, you know, do you have any regrets? Yeah, man, I should have applied myself in high school. I could have had a better job. I said, well, why didn't you do it? I was stupid. Now, I'm telling you, this is the time to educate yourself, to work, to grow, so that when you get to heaven, you will have a fantastic job waiting for you. And I might be pushing you here, but when you come up to heaven, you're going to come up and say, thank you, Pastor, for kicking me in the rear end. Thank you for pushing me. I got this nice job. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So what do we do now? Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. The first thing we got to do is to get well. Is to get saved. And you know, the devil is clever. I've seen a couple of television programs, actually the news programs, of this man, a woman, 100 years old, 110 years old. And the reporter says, you know, how do you get to live so long? I smoked every day of my life. I've been drinking like a, you know, whatever. And, you know, I just get 110. So the report says, okay, there you have it, folks. You know, smoke your cigars, drink that drink, and so on. That is an exception. That person has a body. That's the grace of God. Most people do not last 120 years old. In John chapter 3, we read this from verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I sent to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof. We cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. So step number one is to get saved. Now, you're no longer under the law of death with your soul and your spirit. And now we got benefits for your body. The second thing we got to do to have a good maintenance program is to keep the commandments. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And If you want to read from verses 1 here and down, a few verses here. I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Jesus is the lawgiver. He's the creator. He created us. And he knows exactly how we are made. And if you live like hell, partying and taking, not taking care of yourself, it doesn't matter how many vitamins you buy, how much you exercise, it doesn't matter what you do, it's useless. Maintain your body does not start in a gym. It does not start with vitamins. It doesn't start with eating the right kind of food. It doesn't start when you go to some kind of a place where you have the work on your body. It starts at the cross. At the cross, this is where your health begins. And when you stay focused in front of the cross and you say, Jesus, I will obey your commands. He says, fine. Now you're under my warranty. You are under my warranty. So this is what we have to do. And then the next thing we want to look upon is in Matthew 6:14. That's Matthew 6:14. By the way, this is the introductory message. I'm going to be preaching a lot of detailing on this. So Matthew 6. And you pick it up in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you want to stay sick, have unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will block every blessing from God. Financially, healing-wise, everything will be blocked. God is simply saying this. If you do not forgive, you are not moving in the kingdom. You are sitting still. Like I said in my introduction, which was before the sermon, I've been through a lot of church splits. Had a lot of people hurt me. Hundreds of them. And you know what? I had to forgive them while the thing was still going on. And I can say today, I can look back on all the people that have hurt me over the years. I have no pain in my soul. I feel nothing about them. I've forgiven them. I've released them. I harbor no bitterness. That did not come easy. That is something that I realize. I either do it or I pay for it in my body. So remember this. If you have unforgiveness, you can pop vitamins for $500 a day, and you might as well go to the toilet and flush them down, because they will do you no good unless you're living in forgiveness. The third thing I want to talk about today are the food laws. Let's turn to Leviticus. That's the third book of Moses. So we have Leviticus. We're going to go to chapter 11. And this is a law that most people simply do not want to follow. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. These are the animals you shall eat. Whatsoever parts the hoof and its cloven foot and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat them, but chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as a camel, because he chews the cud, but divides not a hoof, he's unclean to you. The coney, that's a little a rodent that lives in the Middle East. Because he's chews the cud, divides not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the hare, that's a rabbit, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide a hoof and be cloven footed, yet he chews not a cud, he's unclean to you. You read on the rest of this chapter here, and it simply says this, scavengers are not to be eaten. That includes your shrimp, your crabs, and, you know, all the other good stuff that we like, clams. You have mushroom, number of other things. So, this is our favorite food. Same chapter, now I want you to read with you from verse number 45. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves upon the waters and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and clean, and between a beast that may be eaten and a beast that may not be eaten. When you talk about clean now, we're not talking about sin. We're talking about toxicity. These are clean animals. They do not have toxins in them. These are animals, birds, or creeping things that are toxic because God made them to be garbage collectors. Walk around outside today after you're done. Tell me how many dead birds you see. How many carcasses of animals that died do you see in nature? And the answer is very few, unless somebody got killed just now. God has a method. He has people from, not people, animals, birds from vultures to all kind of different things, coyotes. And the last one to clean up are the ants. And then come the microbes that break it down. And you see there are no dead carcasses around. God keeps it clean. Now those animals, birds, that are the garbage collectors of the earth, God said, don't eat them. Because they are toxic. These things are what you eat. And you will do well. Now, did anything change when Jesus died on the cross? Is the crow died the same? The crab? The swine? Was that a fourth cross when they hung up the swine so that would be cleaned up? No. Everything God spoke here is still true today. This was given 4,000 years before Christ. Actually, 3,000 years before Christ. This is 5,000 years old. It's still the same. So, should we obey this? Yes. So, let me ask you this question. Let's say this, that you have problems with your feet. And, you know, I had problems with my feet. So I'll use myself as an example. I got up here preaching. It's about maybe 2-3 months ago. And I noticed this. When I walked out, my feet were numb. I got pain in them. I could barely walk. And I said, okay, now, let's do some thinking. I know I got pain. What's the problem? The problem was my shoes. I took a look at my shoes. They were too small. Something happened to them. They were the kind of narrow shoes. Apparently, my feet has grown. They got flattened out. And so I said, that's strange. I would try another pair of shoes. I still had pain. So I said, okay, the conclusion I come to is this, that I don't have pain normal in the daytime, but when I preach, I got these shoes and I got pain. Therefore, my conclusion is I need new shoes. Right? So I said, I'm going to go to a store to have wide shoes. They might not look that nice, but they are good shoes. Matter of fact, that's the name of the company, Good Shoes. So I walked into a Good Shoe store and I said, hey, measure my feet. I want to have a shoe that simply, you know, will work, and I can stand and preach in them. They're not, you know, what you call it, you know, pretty. They're not looking like a dress shoes. I tell you what, I can preach for hours in these shoes. So I just realized, you know, that's a smart thing to do. So I got no problem with my feet. So you got cancer, you got diabetes, you got this or that, you know. Ask yourself this, how do I got that? Ask yourself this, what am I eating? Does food have things to do with my sickness? Yes, it does. It's a big, big factor. So this is just an introduction to this. So I've heard people say this, well, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 10, you know, we got this sheet coming down from heaven with all kind of things in it. And God said, this is clean, you know, so I can eat whatever I want to eat. You know, I just bless it. Well, you know what? That is insanity. Because first of all, in the book of Acts, the story was not about the animals. The story was about, can Gentiles be saved? Because Peter would not preach to Gentiles. The Jews said, they do not have souls. So I'm going to leave it to you. It's up to you to figure it out if food has something to do. Let's talk about the aging of the human body now. So the human body, the way it's built, is this. That when you are 7 years old, you have all new cells. That's why the skin is so nice on children. You get 14 years old and you got a brand new body again. And you know, it's so nice. You be 21 years old and you got your third body. Everything has been changed. And you think, you know, oh man, I'm strong, you know, I'm this and that, you know. Remember, pal, that's the last body you got full exchange on. From now on, the exchange is going to go down. Let me talk about B-52 bombers. I had a chance to go through them when they had them here at Bader Air Force Base. Had some friends within the church that were part of their crew. And they took us out there. We had a chance to go through them. The B-52 was actually designed in 1946. 1946, they started designing them. The first production B-52 came out in 1955. The last one, I think, was rolled off about 1963. It's an 8-engine bomber. It's a huge bomber. It's not that good looking. And if you have been seeing them, when you have the wings are sagging like this, so they have wheels on the outside because they're so heavy. They sag. And so the body of the aircraft holds the wing up. Once it's airborne, the wings will lift, and now the wings are holding the rest of the airplane. They are still flying them today. The men and women flying them now are grandchildren of the pilot, the crews that flew them in 55. Why are these airplanes still flying? Why did President Trump get order to again load up the B-52s with nuclear weapons? Had them ready in the past like they used in the past. Because they are in good condition. That's a long time, 60-year-old airplane. Why? Maintenance, 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 maintenance. That's the key. They simply realized they're going to maintain them, they upgrade them, they change parts, they keep them running, and they are still flying. Now, maintenance is the key to the human body to stay healthy. Let me talk about the endocrine system right now, or your immune system. When God built us, he had two things that controlled us. You got electricity, and you got chemical reactions. When I move, if you actually could listen to a body when you move, it would be cracking all over, because every time I move a muscle, there are electricity charge that goes up and down that tells the muscles what to do, when to pull, when to turn, when to switch. So the electricity is running everything. That's running your heart. That's running your breathing. You're sitting there right now here in the chapel, and you're breathing. No one is sitting and saying, I got to breathe. Automatic. Is that nice? You don't have to worry about your heartbeat. Automatic. You don't have to worry about dry digestive breakfast. It's automatic. It's controlled by electricity and by hormones. And we have what they call the endocrine system. I want to speak about a hormone called DHEA. Now, this is something I discovered. I was not smart enough. I discovered this. I go back to 1989. I'd taken my dad to the gym. He was 70 years old when I started him at the gym. And he was doing fine. And then one day, I got over to his place where he lived, and he was just sitting at a table like this. I said, what happened then? He said, I don't know. I'm so tired. He said, I can't even unscrew. He had the soda. He didn't drink the soda, but the club soda that he had for his stomach. He said, I can't even unscrew that thing. He said, I got no strength. So I had a friend, Ken Anderson. Health expert, good friend of mine, Christian. I called him up and said, hey, Ken, this happened to my dad. What's going on? He said his glands, the adrenal glands, two of them, sitting top of the kidneys, have stopped working. He has no DHEA. I say, is there any remedy? Yes, it is, he said. You can go and buy ready-made hormones, but they're not good for you. But we got a product that is a precursor. You take that product, it's from Mexican jam. It's extracted. And it will prod the adrenal glands to increase their production. And you're back again to normal. I said, send me about your stuff. So we got it. I started my dad on 3 pills a day. No change. 6 pills a day. No change. 9 pills a day. Boom! He woke up. And in about a couple of weeks, I was back at the gym pushing weights again. That's when I learned. I said, okay, now, I'm going to be smart. At that time, I was about 50 or so. I said, now, I'm not going to wait until my adrenal glands start producing less. It was called at that time Plus Tablets with Manitech. So I started popping 9 a day. And I've been doing that for 25, 26 years, whatever. And so I am maintaining my DHA level, which is maintaining my vitality. Remember now, at the cross, you obey to God's word and so on, but we got some supplement that we can use. So, what happened to you? When you were 30 years old, part of your aging process, your adrenal glands begin to produce less DHA. DHA drives the entire system. And when you get hit 50, 60, and 70, it's going down, 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 down. And when it suddenly stops, that's when you die. So, something can be done about that. You can work with your endocrine system and get that up. Let me take you to Proverbs right now, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Let me say this to you. There's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, you can buy, they're selling you all kind of things. So there's a lot on the market that is just simply just junk. And you got to really look forward, look carefully what you're taking for supplements. So let me take you to where I want to go. I want to go to Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. Here we go. A sound heart or a soul. Heart is the same as soul. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the ruttenness of the bones. Your soul is the key to life. It's a key. Then in 15:12, we read this. That's 15:12. 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So to have a healthy body, your soul has to be happy. If you don't have a happy soul, you got a sick body. You pop vitamins, doesn't do any good. It's a soul that controls it. Let me give you this example. In 1963, my wife and I left Sweden, fresh out of college. And I remember those were the days where you could actually go out to the tarmac and walk with people up on the airplane. This is before you had the terrorists. And her mother was out there, and she was crying. She couldn't be consoled. And finally, Ina said, "Okay, Mom, I promise you I'll be back in 2 years." She said, okay, 2 years. Because in the old days, you went to America, you never came back. So we were doing fine. We were working and so on. Now, about 6 months before the 2 years were up, we were not talking about it. I was busy, she was busy. She started taking ill. And she had some kind of, went to the doctor, she had a lung disease, was an infection. And they tried this, they tried that, said there's no antibiotics, we have no cure for it. And she got worse and worse, and we couldn't work any longer. Laying around, no energy, nothing. I mean, she was wiped out. And I realized, and she said, "I promised my mom I'd be back in 2 years." And I said, "But we hadn't got the money." So I realized that I had to get the money or I lose my wife. I borrowed the money, bought a one-way ticket, and shipped her off. She landed in Sweden, picked up by her family. She'd been there 1 week. Her dad took her to one of these sanatoriums, a hospital where they particularly treat the lungs. They x-rayed her and said, "There's nothing wrong with this woman. She had two healthy lungs. She got healed in 1 week because her soul was satisfied." Listen, if your soul is not satisfied, it will make you sick. 16:24, we read this. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What do you have in the bones? This is where you manufacture your red blood cells, your white blood cells. This is part of your endocrine system, your immune system. If you have sweet words, they're honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And then we look upon 18:14. 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but the wounded spirit who can bear. If your soul is troubled, it will sustain your infirmity. It doesn't matter what you do. The soul has to be healed. That's when we do deliverances. We spend a lot of time on traumas and the healing of souls. The question now is this. Can aging be slowed? And the answer is yes. You will age. You still get your wrinkles. You still get the bald spots up here. Your hair, you still get gray. But you can have full power in your body. You can't slow it down. The problem is, most people do not plan for aging. And I wrote this down. Most people plan out for a retirement, 401ks, special plans. People buy life insurance. Life insurance is actually death insurance. You don't benefit from that. It's your loved ones. They benefit from it. People buy pre-planned funeral plans. You pay up front, and they tell you this. You pay for a funeral now, and 10 years from now, 20 years from now, the price will have gone up, but your price is set. Buy your coffin today. Okay? Buy a plot at a cemetery and so on. A lot of planning. But have you ever sat down? Ask yourself this. Did you ever sit down and say, God, I want to have a plan for this vehicle. I want to last. I want to be able to function when I'm 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. I want to be busy for the Lord. If that's the case, you got a plan. You got to simply sit down and say, okay now, what do I need to do with my body? How can I keep this body going? Maintenance. And on the last page here of your outline, I'm going to give you a couple of points here today. We start in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And this is a Exodus 20 and number 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon a land which the Lord your God gives you. Have you seen that? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon this planet. You must as well, my dad is, my mom, you know, they are no good, they are bums, they are this and that, you know. It might be. But honor them. They gave you a body. They raised you, or they should have raised you. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't say you don't have to agree with them, but you honor them. If you honor them, God said, your days will be long on this earth. You see, that's important. But when was the last time you heard a sermon preached on that? So, that's one thing. And then I want you to turn to Psalm 139. That Psalms 139. Know how your body is made. In 139:13, we read the following. For you have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Then my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was being made in secret. And currently wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance before they yet unperfect. And in your book, the DNA, all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. We need to take an inventory and ask ourselves this. How does this body function? And what do I need for a maintenance program? Remember this now. Diabetes is not something you get when you hit 50. Diabetes is developed when you are still a child, when you are a teenager. Cancer is developed early in life, in your 20s, but it doesn't show up until 40, 50 years of age. Notice women today have breast cancer. I mean, they are working, you know, running on the street. We got to fight breast cancer and so on. We got to throw more money on research. The breast cancer epidemic is a dietary problem. It's a spiritual problem. You start living an immoral life, and there's going to be consequences. Where people sin, the disease will come up. People are immoral. They get cancer of the ovaries, breast cancer. They get, what do you call it, in their testicles. They get cancer. Wherever you sin, that's where the cancer shows up. Disease shows up. So what you want to do is this. You want to plan to have a maintenance program. A lot of people have regrets. We take people through deliverance. And I have people come in 60 years old, 70 years old. And they have not done what they should have done, have regrets. You got to give up those regrets. You got to give up the guilt. Yesterday is gone. Can't be done over. Today is the day you got. Ask God to forgive. Forgive yourself. Move on. If you want a healing. If I'm going to regret all the bad stuff I've done over the years, I'll be sick. But praise God, the blood of Jesus will cover you. It will forgive you, wash you, and you move on. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Look at the Apostle Paul. He murdered people because they were Christians. He persecuted them. He enjoyed when they were killed and stoned. And God saved him. And God took a murderer and a renegade, and made him the greatest apostle out of them all. You got to stop and say, maybe my life was wasted. Maybe I didn't do right. But thank you, Jesus, today I can be forgiven. I can have a new beginning. You can start over again. Guilt, regrets, bitterness holds you down. Don't look in the past. Look at the future. Look at Jesus. Look in his eyes and say, Jesus, you are my future. I don't care what your age is. He is your future. Plan a meaningful life in Christ after retirement for your secular job. Remember this. It's not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish. About a year ago, Brother Henry walked into this ministry. And he was a little bit on the unhappy side. And he was struggling with a number of things. And he went through deliverance. And what he learned was this. The past is in the past. You can't relive it. You leave it at the cross. He's the happiest guy that I've seen in a long time. When you see Brother Hanley, he always got a smile on his face. And why? Because he got a new future. I'm going to give this testimony for him. We got a man in Germany. I'm not going to give a name on him. And he's a doctor in psychiatry, in psychology. He got a doctor's degree. He's been working as a doctor for many years. He's a wreck. Found a ministry. I talked to him about 3-4 years ago and to bring him over here. He said, oh, I'm too sick to get over. I can't do that. And everything was, it's a mess. But Henry, sad that the deliverance put him over Skype. And today, that man is vibrant. He's not tired anymore. He has plans. He wants to do things for the Lord. Totally changed. New life. New energy. So, I want to close it in this way. You might be shocked today what you heard here today. But that's okay. You got a body. And you need maintenance. Think what I said. Do an inventory. Do you have a maintenance program for your body? Have you been taking care of your vehicle? Or you're living in a dump? If you don't have a maintenance program, simply say, God, help me today to have a better program so that I can function in your kingdom. I'm not talking about salvation. And nothing with salvation. It has to do with your life and quality of life on this earth. Now, those of you who've been listening to me again, you might not be saved. And you say, well, I never heard a preacher preach like this before. Well, I'm glad you heard me today. And you said, how can I get into this program? From what I told you several times, Jesus is the key to long life on this earth, and also salvation. Salvation is the most important thing. And if you listen to me, you said, you know, how do I get on this? Here's what you do. Admit right now, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I need Jesus. Confess your sins to God and say, God, I confess my sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess you believe he died on the cross. He rose on the third day. And then ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And he will save you. When we finish here, Brother Charles Terrell is going to come. You're not going to see him but hear him. He's going to spend a little bit of time with you. And go over the scriptures. He's going to pray with you and ask you to pray with him step by step. And he will lead you to salvation. And you can know today that you're saved. If that's happening to you, call us, write us, so we can pray some more with you and help you and give you some things. To you that are saved and listening to me, remember this. Next month, I turn 79. I work the same today as I did when I was 40, when I was 30, when I was 50. I maintain my same schedule. I'm 79 next month. I plan to maintain a schedule through my 80s and through my 90s. Do you have a plan? Your body, remember this, nobody. No ministry. It's up to you to take care of your vehicle. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this good, solid outline on how to live our life on this earth, Lord, and to be in health even and prosper even as our soul prospers, Lord. We thank you for knowledge to do the right thing and to live the right way, Lord. And now we just need application. So help us to apply it. We all tend to get a little lazy or a little careless at times, but it takes diligence. So help us all, excuse me, help us all with that diligence, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Master of the universe, and the great benefit that we have to know and understand that, Lord. We thank you for the gospel to be spread far and wide throughout the world, Lord. And then also we lift up our leaders around the world. And we thank you, Father God, for divine intervention in every country on the planet. We lift up those that are in prison to you, Lord, and that you would meet them there. We lift up to those that are unjustly incarcerated, and we thank you for their release. We lift up the President of the United States of America to you, President Donald Trump. We thank you, Father God, for surrounding him with Christian men and leading and guiding him, Lord. We know that the attack on him is great. And we thank you, Father God, for meeting Donald Trump and speaking to him. And a great overtaking be upon him by your hand, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard.
But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, No Body, No Ministry, and was entitled, Dying Healthy. God has outlined a maintenance program, which if properly followed will allow you to live a long, healthy, and productive life in the kingdom of God. This begs the question, how do you want to die? Sick like most people, or healthy like Moses? The aging process can be slowed down through a good diet, adding supplements, and exercising faithfully. However, there comes a time when the physical body will die from what the doctors call natural causes. Most people make plans for retirement, but not for aging. Major diseases like cancer, diabetes, and coronary problems begin to form in your youth. Growing old is a fact of life, but only you can determine if you will die healthy. Jesus commissioned every Christian to go and share the gospel, but in order to do that, you need a healthy physical body. You simply can't perform any type of ministry without a body, and you are certainly more effective on your feet than lying on a sickbed. Unless you're the rare specimen that has an especially strong constitution, living a long and healthy life requires a maintenance plan. Be sure to make the right choice. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1623. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 916-944-9581. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.